We have Amy Marks instead of Ms. Rosa, who's going to present. But this is a co-author, and you're familiar with the work, I think.
Yes, I am.
What have you?
Hi. My name is Amy Marks. I'm a data analyst for the Chamacos Project at UC Berkeley, and I don't have any financial conflicts of interest to disclose. Before I start, I'd like to acknowledge my co-authors, Dr. Eskenazi, Dr. Bradman, Dr. Rosas, Dr. Harley, Dr. Nina Holland, Karen Wen, Kai Johnson, Dr. Laura Fenster, and Dr. Dana Barr, who's at CDC. So this talk will summarize the relationship of in utero pesticide exposure, organophosphate and organochlorine pesticide exposure, and neurodevelopment in the Chamaco study. I'll give a bit of background on the study itself and just quickly review the exposures and outcomes that we looked at and then summarize the results. The methods will be, information on methods will be a little bit sparse, so if you have any questions, feel free to ask me at the end. CHAMACO stands for the Center for the Health Assessment of Mothers and Children of Salinas. It's a birth cohort study of low-income, primarily Mexican immigrant farm worker women and their children living in the Salinas Valley of California. Okay. The Salinas Valley is an agricultural area about 100 miles south of the San Francisco Bay Area, and it's commonly referred to as the Salad Bowl of America. Women were eligible for this study if they were in the first half of pregnancy, if they were eligible for the for California's Medicaid program, and if they were at least 18 years old, receiving prenatal care in one of three community clinics and planning on delivering at the local county hospital. And we enrolled 601 pregnant women in the study. The study population was quite homogeneous. The mothers were primarily Spanish-speaking, 85% were born in Mexico, and over half had been in the U.S. for less than 5 years. Almost all of them were low-income and of low educational attainment, and most came from farmworker families, farmworker households, or themselves worked in farmwork. This is a longitudinal cohort study. There's a lot of elements to it, this is just basically to show you we're currently finishing the visits with the seven-year-old children. There's like only one or two left, which is pretty exciting. And there's a number of biological specimens that were collected as well. And this is just to show you the retention rates for this highly migrant, this migrant and highly mobile population. The retention rates were pretty remarkable. Particularly, we followed 538 infants. Live-born infants were a part of the study. So the biggest drop was in the period between enrollment and delivery. That's just a picture of some strawberry workers. So the main exposures that I'll be talking about are DDT and its primary breakdown product, DDE, and organophosphate pesticides. So DDT was banned in 1972 in the United States and in 2000 in Mexico. So the levels in Mexican women migrating from Mexico are going to be higher than in the U.S. in general, and I'll show you some of that in a moment. These are highly persistent, as Dr. Sergev mentioned earlier, and we measured the para-para and ortho-para congeners of DDT and para-para DDE in maternal serum collected during pregnancy. And I should also note that previous studies, there's not a lot of them, but previous studies using biomarkers for DDT have primarily looked at DDE. And ours was the first published study to look at DDT directly, and there's another one from Spain that was published around the same time. The organophosphates. Organophosphates represent about 60% of insecticides used in this country. There were 500,000 pounds of pesticides, of organophosphate pesticides, used in the Salinas Valley in 2001, which is the year when most of the children in the study were born. And 80% of organophosphate pesticides break down into dialkyl phosphate or DAP metabolites. And there's two main classes, diethyls and dimethyls. And I'll be presenting some results on those separately. And we measured DAPs in maternal urine, and the half-life is a matter of days, hours to days. These chemicals are neurodevelopmental toxicants. They act on the nervous system of pests, so it would make sense that they might act on the nervous systems of humans as well, particularly the highly vulnerable fetuses and small children whose systems are still developing. So the outcomes that we looked at are presented here, are shown here. Tests were administered in Spanish and English by trained psychometricians who are blinded to exposure. The Brazelton Neonatal Behavior Assessment Scale was performed after birth. The median age at assessment was 3 days. And in the analyses, the results were reduced to the 7 clusters that are widely used in research. Examples of these are habituation, orientation, and abnormal reflexes. The Bayley scales of infant development we use the second edition, and these yield 2 main scores, the mental developmental index and the psychomotor developmental index. And these are age standardized using a national normative sample and have a mean of 100 and a standard deviation of 15. We perform these at 6, 12, and 24 months of age. And I will present some preliminary results on some tests, neurodevelopmental tests that were done at age 3.5 and 5 years, and those are different tests, but some of them are relatively consistent. So the Child Behavior Checklist is a 99-item scale that was based on maternal report, and it yields some scores for several syndrome scales based on what we theorized might be an issue, attention, as well as the findings from one other study. We focused on attention-related outcomes and pervasive developmental disorder, which has some items that are consistent with Asperger's syndrome and autistic disorders. We used a bivariate outcome. The clinical cut points for these scales were above the 98th percentile of a national normative sample. And these were assessed at 24 months as well as at 3.5 and 5 years. So this, moving on to DDT, this shows the levels in chamacos and in comparison with a national reference population from NHANES, the National Health and Nutrition Examination Survey. And as you can see, the para-para DDE and DDT were significantly higher in chamacos than in women of childbearing age from NHANES, and were also higher than specifically the Mexican American women of childbearing age. We found no associations of maternal DDT or DDE with any of the Brazelton clusters. And we found for the Bayley scales, you can see the columns represent 6, 12, and 24 months. The top half of the slide is the psychomotor. And we found significant associations between DDT, para-para DDT and DDE with psychomotor scores at 6 and 12 months, but not at 24 months. For mental development, we found conversely no association at 6 months, but we found increasing inverse associations at 12 and 24 months in the range of about 2 to 3 points. So per tenfold increase, these were log transformed lipid adjusted values. So per tenfold increase in DDT or DDE, we found a reduction of about 2 to 3 points. I'll skip that slide. And this slide shows the duration of breastfeeding, the association of breastfeeding with 24-month mental scores by tertile of DDT. So the point of this slide is basically to show that even amongst the highest exposed groups, we didn't see any decrement in any deleterious effect in breastfeeding. So, and this is noteworthy because a lot of the DDT is in fatty tissue and it gets passed along to the child through breastfeeding. And I should also note that these levels are significant or substantially lower than levels that you might experience during that might be experienced in more active DDT use areas. So where DDT is being used for malaria control currently, for example, the levels would be much higher. So we can't really extend the findings to that. Organophosphates, a quick review. They're widely used in agriculture as well as in homes. They degrade quickly and they're acute neurotoxins. And this just shows the chamacos, the OP-DAP metabolite levels in chamacos relative to NHANES women of childbearing age in the first part of the slide here. And it also shows the levels in our children from 6 months to 5 years of age, which are rising as they grow older and are close to the levels in children and NHANES from age 6 to 11. So with the Brazelton, the total DAPs were statistically significantly associated with the number of abnormal reflexes on the Brazelton. And this slide shows a subsample of them, the children who were assessed actually after 3 days of age, the median time. And it breaks down the exposure levels into five equal groups, and it shows the percent of children who had more than three abnormal reflexes on the Brazelton. So children in the highest group, I'm hoping I say this right, children in the highest group were twice as likely to have at least four abnormal reflexes than children in the other groups of exposure. This slide shows the coefficients and 95% confidence intervals for linear regression models on the Bayley Psychomotor Index. And we found no association between prenatal DAPs and Bayley psychomotor scores. This shows the mental Bayley scores. And as you can see, at 24 months, we showed a significant inverse association with total DAPs. And when you break it down to diethyls and dimethyls, as you see here, it appears to be mostly due to the dimethyl phosphate metabolites. And this is just preliminary results from 3.5 years using the WPC scale. The verbal IQ here, you see again the total DAPs and dimethyls in particular were significantly negatively associated with neurodevelopment. And pretty much the same thing for 5 years. This is from the Peabody Picture Vocabulary Test. These are the results for the child behavior checklist. We actually had a high proportion of children who were in this PDD group clinically had scores in the clinical range of PDD. For attention and ADHD, attention problems and ADHD, we used the borderline cutoff because we didn't have as many. And what this shows is that DAPs appear to be significantly associated with risk of having PDD scores in the clinical range, about a twofold risk. And we showed this as well for 42 and 60 months, and though the proportion in that, the number of our children in the PDD clinical range goes down, it still appears to be significantly associated. So, let's see. think I just have a summary slide. In summary, women living in agricultural salinas had relatively high exposure levels to organophosphates and DDT. The prenatal exposure to DDT and DDE was associated with decreased psychomotor scores at 6 and 12 months and decreased mental scores at 2 years. And previous human studies have focused on DDE, so it's of note that we looked at DDT. Prenatal OP exposure was associated with abnormal neonatal reflexes. And that also, I just want to note, there was another study from Mount Sinai, another children's center study, that showed really similar results. They also found associations with abnormal reflexes only, that cluster on the Brazelton and DAPS. Or they might have looked at OPs directly. And then we found decreased mental development at 2 years and an increase in pervasive developmental disorder at 2 years and beyond. So I think I mentioned our funders, but in case I did not, we're funded through NIHS and EPA as a Children's Center for Environmental Health Research, and we received additional funding from NIOSH for the DDT portion of the study. Thank you. Yeah.
With the pervasive developmental delay in the ADHD, that's pretty fascinating data, but for the other instruments, I'm not quite sure, 6 month and 12 month differences in motor scores and reflexes, does that have any clinical outcomes?
Well, we think that the 6 and 12 months, we have focused less on the 6 and 12 months and the psychomotor scores because they go away. But the scores appear to be, lower for the mental development at 2 years and at 3.5 years and 5 years. So we're paying more attention to that ourselves. Does that answer your question? There are other cohort studies that have looked at that. A lot of them, I'm not sure I understand. You mean in like the long term? In the long term? Yeah, I'm not sure. There are some other studies that are looking at school-age children and have followed them, and we're at 7 years right now. We have teacher report and school performance information at that time, and we're hoping to receive funding to continue studying these children. So it's definitely of major interest. Yeah. Right, exactly. Right, exactly. And it'll be more interesting to look at the teacher report of ADHD as well. So, it's hard to be conclusive about anything at this time point. And also, I have a slide that summarizes what the pervasive developmental disorder, what the items are on that scale. And again, it's not a conclusive diagnosis of pervasive developmental disorder or autism or anything like that, but it's certainly of interest. Yeah?
You just briefly mentioned continued use of DDT for malaria control, and I just want to say that on the back table, there's some information about current work going on addressing the issue of continued DDT use.
Yeah, and we are hoping to look at it as well. Our center is hoping to look at neurodevelopment and other outcomes of interest as well in relation to DDT in Africa. And the exposure levels are exponentially higher than what we found. So, yeah.
What do you attribute your retention rate to?
Our interviewers are phenomenal. It's also because the growing season in Salinas is about 10 months of the year. It's an unusually long growing season, so there's a lot less migration than there are in other migrant farming communities. We ask for contacts of close friends and relatives in Mexico and the U.S., so we're able to track them that way. And some of the interviewers, there's one interviewer in particular. If you look at the slide, there's like an 87% at some point, and she went away for a while, and then she came back and started working for us again. And, like, really, it's a lot due to her. She's phenomenal. So, and there, I mean, it's a longitudinal study, and there's, like, relationships that are developed, and I think that that's part of it as well. Anything else? Okay, thank you.
For some of the other panelists. We can take those now if you'd like. And also want to remind you there's some surveys in the back. If you wouldn't mind filling them out, we'd like your input on how well the session went. Thank you. Other questions? It might be easier, since I know that it's kind of past lunchtime, if the panelists come up to the front and then people can come up and ask their questions. That way people don't have to hang around.